It's very obvious we're talking about Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, it's not revealing the name, but it's revealing the attributes of the name. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so we realize that we've got a God who came into this earth. If you'll turn back to Isaiah 7 and 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," or God with us. And then if you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse number 19, it says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." The word "wit" means how, or how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So God transitioned from heaven to earth in a body of flesh for the purpose of reconciling, taking our sins away. That's the bottom line. It's such a simple message, but it seems to be lost in religion. Glory to God. And then one more scripture while you're standing. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse number 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." This God, amen, in the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, "and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knees should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Every person one day, I don't care what they aspire to, what they believe in, every person will one day say, "Jesus is Lord." I'd rather say it now. I'd rather bend my knee now. Amen. I'd rather acknowledge him now. Amen. And get all of the benefits of understanding who is Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon your word. We're grateful, God. We're grateful for the knowledge, the truth, the understanding, the revelation as to who you are, why you came, and where we're going. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what is the real meaning of Christmas? We all see the lights, you know, decorations everywhere. People have spent thousands of dollars in order to light up their yards. It's a season of darkness, and the light is welcome. And we're in a season of darkness, and the light is welcome. The decorations, the family get-togethers, all of the presents and all of the parties, many people who don't even recognize Jesus as a Savior or even someone that is in existence, they celebrate the day and the season without God. People celebrating Christmas, well, why don't they find their own celebration? But they don't understand, nor do they even acknowledge God. Shopping centers and malls and stores don't reflect as Merry Christmas anymore. It's Happy Holidays. But let's define what Christmas really is this morning. Christmas is the name we give to that robe-changing moment that altered the fabric of history. The moment that our God no longer was just a spirit, but took on the form of flesh. That's the real definition of Christmas. Amen. God took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, to wit, that God was in Christ. Christ only means the anointed flesh, if you will. John 1 and 14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This Word is all of what God is, and he dwelt among us, was made flesh. God came to earth in the form of man to become our sacrifice for sin, wrapped in tight strips of cloth. They called it swaddling clothes. The first Christmas gift yawned and peeked up into the faces of humanity. That was God in those swaddling clothes. He who was invisible now became visible. The God and creator of heaven and earth came and tabernacled himself in flesh so we could see who God was and his attributes and his characteristics, why he did and what he did. He was a supreme example. Yes, there were patriarchs in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, but they couldn't compare to the supreme example of Jesus Christ. A garment defines a person's role in life. It really does. We identify people by what they wear. We identify policemen by what they wear. I remember Brother Bear and I years ago did a ride along with the police chief from Racine, and he said, undercover cops don't work. They have to be recognized as to who they are. You know what? Undercover Christians don't work. We have to be recognizable, you know. We know what a nurse looks like. We know what a UPS man looks like. Even Christians. Those that don't even go to church, they look at us and say, there's a Christian. Where do you go to church? And as Christ came into the world, he took on a new identity as part of creation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But then 33 years later, those he came to save put him on a rugged cross. And as he hung dying on the cross, soldiers gambled for his robe, the robe that he had. After his death, his body was again wrapped in strips of cloth, just like he was at the very beginning at Bethlehem. 3 days later, Jesus reappeared with a new robe, fashioned as his glorious body. You see the transition from baby to now supreme being. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. But there had to be some transitions from one stage to another stage. Now able to walk through walls, appear and disappear where he will, a body that 40 days later ascended up into heaven. Philippians 3 and 21 tells us, one day we will have a body such as his. It too is our final robe change on this earth. We're going to go through a number of robe changes before we get to the final dressing room, just as Jesus put on eternity, put on a glorious body. We will put on that glorious body. It says, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. So he's saying there's going to be a big change, folks. There's going to be a big change. We don't like change, do we? You know? I was saying to my wife yesterday, it's been years since I bought a new suit. But I'm really comfortable in the suits that I have. This is one of my comfortable suits. It's a little bigger than a lot of them, and this is great for Christmas time. You know? Amen. And so I wear it a lot. had it not been for the dramatic upheaval in God becoming flesh. And believe me, when you've been to heaven and then you know you have to come to earth, it's not comfortable. We'd have no one to plead our case had that not happened. If Jesus would not have experienced that earth-shaking, robe-changing moment, we would have no way of salvation. Amen. And because of our God taking off the robes of heaven and putting on the robe of flesh, we have hope when we put off our own earthly robe of flesh and put on a new heavenly robe one day. I read it yesterday in a wedding that, you know, one day we're going to put on white linen, which is the righteousness of saints. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter? Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, it describes what's going to happen for us. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," the word tabernacle here is temporary residency. "So if we know that our earthly house of this temporary residency were dissolved, we have a building or body of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." I want to make the transition. I want to take on the new robes from the old robes. "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle," temporary housing, "do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." And so we all understand that there's that transition. And the transition isn't very easy, especially as you get older. You're wondering, I'm ready. Because this tabernacle, this temporary residency is starting to fall apart. And you start to long for a new robe. So God allows us to go through volatile situations to be able to transition from robe to robe, and we all go through it in life whether we understand it or not. It doesn't make us comfortable, but we need to understand the purpose for going through the transitions that we go through. Any of you guys ever have a favorite old shirt? We're in church, you should really be honest. Usually, it's about two sizes too big. It's been worn to the point where the collar's frayed, the sleeves are frayed, you know, maybe some holes in it, but nothing fits. Right. Nothing is as comfortable as that old shirt that you wear on the weekends when you're not going out of the house, or maybe even go out of the house and you don't care what anybody else thinks. Can I get a witness? Is there a man in the house here? My wife is always looking to throw out some of my favorite old, very, very comfortable stuff. And she'll say, let's just throw this out. You know, this is time for it to go in the rag bag or the garbage. And when she says let's, she means her. And I have come more than once to the rescue of some of my most cherished shirts. They may not look good, but wow, I sure feel comfortable in them. I've never suggested that we throw out her grandmother's china because it's old, you know? However, I hope when it comes time to make the final apparel change, that I will not hang on to the robes of the past because I was comfortable with them when God's got something new for me. Amen. And we've all come to that crossroad. Come into the church, we look around, You know, we're very comfortable in what we are, who we are, our identity. And then God says, well, I've got some new things for you to wear. When the Lord says it's time to put on the robes of white, I want to be quick to let go of this life and embrace all of what God has for me in the next life. But in this life, many times God makes robe changes for us. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was this young, beautiful little virgin who went from wearing robes of young virgin in Israel to the expanding waistline of an expectant mother. And it was a very hard transition for her. It was different. People didn't understand why she was making a robe change. Not only did this bring a change to her wardrobe, but her people began to treat her differently and look at her differently because of the robe change. Anybody here go through a robe change when you came into the church where people looked at you a little bit differently, but you knew this was of God, this is what God wanted. Garments define our role in life. They advertise who we are and what our values are. We can just look at people and see what they like many times because they advertise it on their shirts or they dress a certain way in order to fit into a certain lifestyle. With the pregnancy before being married, this Mary, who was betrothed, well, she got a lot of different looks, and even her betrothed husband balked at the idea of identifying with someone who didn't look like they were morally right, until an angel told him to put on his own new garment. Forget about the criticisms. You and Mary have been chosen for a new set of clothes. And I hope I can drive this point home somehow this morning, that sometimes God's got a new set of clothes for you, a new transition for you, but before you can ever accept the new transition, the new suit that God has for you, you have to put aside the old one, the comfortable one. Joseph, the patriarch, was the favorite son of Jacob. Everybody knew he was the favorite son. Favorite sons many times get many robe changes in their lifetime. That'll preach. Because if God's got something special for you, chances are you're going to go through a little more robe changes in your life than somebody else. And so was the life of Joseph. At first, the robe his father gave him was his greatest identity. And when his brothers grabbed it, he struggled in order to preserve not only the coat that his father gave him, but the identity that he had because of the coat that his father gave him. His brothers ripped it from his back. The security and self-identity he knew as his father's most loved son. He then had a robe change to a servant's garments, and now he doesn't have a coat of many colors anymore. It was ripped from him. His identity was gone. You know, the identity of the old man has to leave before we can get a new identity that God gives us. If we're struggling between the identities, am I a part of the world or am I part of the church? There's going to be a difficult struggle. But we have to take up a new identity. That's what God is saying. You know, I want you to look and be like me. We're Christians. We're Christ-like. Conform to the image of God. God must have known he needed a robe change if he was going to use him in later life. Anybody listening? Yeah. If we're going to be used in later life, God's saying, okay, could you come to the dressing room? Because I've got something else for you. Joseph accepted the role change, and as a result, there was another transition to captain of Potiphar's house. You see, he went through taking the coat that his father gave him that said, boy, you're my favorite, to putting on robes of a servant or a slave. And when he accepted the robes of the servant, God says, great, I got another robe for you, and this is the robe of chief of the captain's house. But Joseph's robe-ripping moments were not yet over. Can we see the progress, the progression of garments God puts those who he wants to use through? Next, his boss's wife took interest in Joseph and tried to disrobe him privately. And this time, Joseph didn't fight to keep his robe, but he kept his integrity because he now understood that when one robe gets ripped away, there's a better robe coming. There's a better robe coming. I could fill pages with robe-changing experiences I've gone through. Pages. And at the beginning, many of them I resisted. No. You know, God is such a gentleman. He won't force anybody to do anything. He's so gentle. And he gives us the opportunity, if you want to do that and progress to another level, well, that's great. But if you don't want to progress to another level, well, then that's fine. You know, you can stay in the same clothes that you've been in, at the same level that you've been in. Many of these changes have been hard to accept. But later, I accepted knowing there's something to this. There's a benefit. Robe changes, like jobs, losing friends, false accusations. I remember when I was asked to preach my first message, there were some things that needed to leave my life before I could expect the anointing of God in my life. Many times it rocks our security and makes us very uncomfortable because we don't like the change. But some refuse to give up the old to receive the new. It takes faith and it takes trust in God in order to make those changes. The old story of the man who's hiking in the mountains and he's all by himself and he slips and falls over a cliff and about 100 feet down he grabs onto the root of a tree and he's all by himself and he's yelling, "Someone up there, help me, help me." And finally he hears the voice of God and the voice of God says, "Let go and I'll catch you." And it's not long when he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" Because we just don't want to put our whole trust in God. Years ago, we were doing a prison service on a Saturday night, and between the services, we have one service for an hour and then a half an hour break and another service. And I remember a guy coming up. Now, everybody either wears your orange uniforms or green uniforms in the prison. And the guy came up to me and said, "Do you want to change clothes?" See, my clothes represented freedom. His clothes represented bondage. I remember, and I probably have said this before, that we were having a service. I was preaching where they had a new chaplain, and he wasn't convinced to our persuasion of doctrine. And I remember him, doing this, and, the body language was, you could tell he was upset. And he was from Africa, and he's wearing this long robe, very colorful, and a hat. And so after the service, I went up to him and I said, "Hey, I like your outfit." And he thought that that was some kind of disparaging remark. And I said, "No, I have one like that at home." And he said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, when I went to Africa, I was given this robe so I would fit in with everybody else. And I wore it when I was ministering there." And he said, "Well, where in Africa?" And I said, "Nigeria." And he said, "Where in Nigeria?" And I said, "Enugu." And he said, "That's my hometown. Now we have become buddies because I made a robe change." Prison garments were probably not the robe Joseph had dreamed about. You know? But it was in this unexpected role of life that put him in the palace. There's some robe changes we don't like at all, but could it be that kind of change would put us in a position that we have never been before and opportunities that we could never get before? Amen. When the Pharaoh sent for Joseph, he didn't struggle with letting go his prison clothes. I can imagine the made-to-order robes the ruler of Egypt now put on, beautiful colors and silk and gold thread weaved together from prison rags to the best of the best, folks. It's true. It could happen to you. None of us know what the next change in life may bring you. Don't know. I guess it really doesn't matter if you're really trusting in God. Perhaps weeping, but remember, tears of joy are soon to follow because it's just a season. God's kids do outgrow their old robes from time to time. It'd be a strange thing that a 20-year-old was wearing infant clothes. You know? No, I was comfortable in this when I was one, and I'm going to be comfortable in it now. That's funny in the imagination. However, could there be some 20-year-olds or 40-year-olds who are still in swaddling clothes? Feed me! No, why not feed yourself? Why not look at the book? Why not change? Hallelujah. God never throws something away without taking a shopping first for a new season. You know? Are you in the changing room of life? You might be transitioning into a new marriage, adjusting to the demands of a brand new baby, dealing with raising teenagers, suffering from an empty nest syndrome, or caring for a failing parent who's dying. They're all robe changes that we go through. Perhaps a dramatic transition from job change has rocked your world. Maybe a new ministry that you just don't feel comfortable in as yet. Whatever you face, remember, don't fight with the old robe. Say, "God, put on something new, because I know it's going to be a promotion handpicked by God." I can't imagine what went through the mind of Mary. Can't imagine. Why me? I know what I'm going to be up against. I know what my family's going to say. I know what my relatives are going to say. I know what the people in the market are going to say when I make this robe-changing decision. Innocence of wrongdoing, yet guilty in the eyes of everyone around her, yet accepting the new robe of motherhood to deliver not just a baby, but to deliver all mankind. Could God be saying to you, "Okay, I've got this new role, I have this new robe for you, not just to deliver you, but to deliver your neighbor, to deliver the people at work, to deliver the new people I'm going to be involved with now because of the job change or because of this or because of that, or the people that I meet at the hospital because of the robe change that I have to go through?" And it could put you in a palace, a place of authority that you have never been in before had you not made the change. Amen. So what about this morning? Amen. Are you in a transition period in your life? Most of us are. Nothing stays the same, right? And that's good. You know, we do have a tradition within our own church of what happens when we come in here and song service and so forth. But you know what? Don't always expect the same thing in every service, because God wants a new song. He wants to keep things fresh. Amen. Are you trying to hold on to that which you are comfortable with? And you just don't, I'm just going to hold on until Jesus comes. Now, I don't think he just wants you to stay in the old garments that you've been in for year after year after year. It's your choice. When kids grow up, they need new clothes. Perhaps you could slip into a new outfit that the Lord has laid out for you this morning. A new role, a new position, something that, well, I'm not comfortable with it right now, but after a while you wear it and you realize, you know, this is better than the old one that I had. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please?